Deuteronomy, please, to the passage we read in God's Word, the book of Proverbs in chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, and as the Lord would enable us, right, consider together verse 28. Proverbs 11, verse 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Now here, in this proverb, we have a contrast set before us. We find two different types of people mentioned. And it would appear that they are likened to two plants or two bushes. You can see certainly the picture of the righteous flourishing as a branch. Here is a branch or a bush or part of a tree that is growing, that is flourishing, that is blossoming, it's fruitful. And on the other hand, there is the one who trusts in riches, who falls, and the reference may be to something which is dead, to leaves falling off a tree or leaves growing wrinkled and wizened. And so there's this contrast set before us. Two different lifestyles, two different types of people, and two different results of their chosen lifestyle. First of all, you've got the materialistic man, he that trusteth in his riches. And it's important for us to notice precisely the wording here. You will notice it does not say he that has riches shall fall. That is not what is said. It is he that trusteth in riches. The scripture never condemns people having wealth. How often that's forgotten. There are those who would want to level people down. Those who are jealous of others who have money. Tax the rich, give it to the poor. But the scripture makes it clear that there are those who are rich. There are those who may be poor. Indeed, the poor you shall always have with you. And it doesn't condemn riches as such, nor does it condemn poverty. You think of Job. Here was a godly man, one in whom the Lord found no fault, as it were, at least outwardly speaking, an upright man in his generation. He had great wealth at the beginning of his life. And though he lost much, it was restored to him. You think of Abraham. You think of Isaac, who we were thinking of this morning. Both of them amassed great wealth. The problem is not in having, but in trusting in his riches. There's a materialistic man. He's doing that, he shall fall. And then you've got the righteous man. The righteous man. The one who is trusting in God. And he is the one who is commended. He shall flourish as a branch. And the great question, the great challenge for you and for me is this. Are we like the righteous man? Or perhaps are you here tonight? And you're like the materialistic man, one who trusteth in his riches. Here in the book of Proverbs, the wise man is setting before us the folly of materialism, one of the plagues of our own generation. Let us take note and learn. We'll get two things then in our text. First of all, of the materialistic man, and then the righteous man. First of all, you'll notice the materialistic man. What can we say about this person? He that trusteth in his riches. Well, the first thing to notice surely is this, that this person is very common. This sort of person is very common. Now, how many people would think otherwise? They would say, that is not me. And yet, friends, is it not true that this sort of man with this sort of outlook is more common than we realize? And that is true not only amongst those who have riches, but very true amongst those who know relative poverty, or at least are just ordinary people, that there is this tendency to trust in riches. Where is the evidence for that? Well, let me ask you this question. What is your hope and desires for your family? How often the first response is this, that they get on well in life. They're doing very well. They've got a good job. What does a good job mean? Well, we all know that's coded language for it pays well. And how often that is one of the first things that fills people's thoughts when they think of their children, how they're going to get on in life. Well, they're getting on well. They've got a good job. And of course, there's nothing wrong with these things. But if that's the first thing, is that not an indication of this tendency to trust in riches? Or that for myself, or for my family, I might get on well, I might get a good job, I might amass some wealth. You think of how today we live in a generation which are obsessed with lotteries and with winning lots of money. Dangle a car, dangle thousands of pounds before people, and quickly they're throwing in their money. Why? Is it to support good causes? Well, that's the lie they might try and persuade themselves of. But isn't it true that it is the carrot that they are after? It is the thing that attracts them, the hope that they might deliver themselves from all their problems, if only to win. Materialism is rife. You think of how many people are dissatisfied with what they have. They're always wanting something else. Another house, another car, the latest gadget that comes out. Never satisfied. Doesn't that betray the materialistic outlook in life? How often people are envious at others when they do better than them, or they have more than they have. Friend, can you detect these things in yourself? You can see a tendency towards materialism. You see those who are rich, all those bankers that people like to bash, and maybe they should be bashed. How often it's envy that drives people to speak the way they do. When we have things, and we feel we're important because we have certain things, doesn't it betray that materialistic spirit? How it's so common, friend. Is it something which is going to grip in you? Are you one of whom it is said, you're trusting in riches? You see, where's the problem? This sort of person values riches too highly, and then he tends to feel that wealth will give him security. Well, if I have plenty in the bank, how I would overcome all my problems. Whatever difficulty would arise, it would be dealt with. I'd be able to get what I need, overcome the problems. In chapter 18, we're told, The name of the Lord is as a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city and has a high wall in his own conceit. Isn't that the attitude of the age? Is that your attitude? Well, how I need more. And that will give me security if I have more. It will help deliver me from the problems of life. Job could say, if I have made gold my hope, and have said to fine gold, thou art my confidence. If I rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because mine hand had gotten me much. If I was doing these things, I could understand why the problems I have come upon me. Friend, are you doing that? Are you like the people of whom it is said in Psalm 52, Lord, this is the man that did not make God his strength at all, but he in his abundant wealth his confidence did place, and he took strength upon himself from his own wickedness. You feel security. Oh, if I had more, I would be more secure. Or, if I had more, I would have access to greater happiness. I could buy whatever I wanted. And I would have greater contentment, greater happiness. I could fulfill my dreams for myself and my family. And then let the rich fool, you could sit back, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Is that where your heart is set, friend? Are there some here, and that's the way it was with you before you came to Christ? You've seen the folly of it. Perhaps there's some here tonight, and you're still like that. If only I had one of these. I'd be happy if only I had this. Here's a common person. Don't we see them all around? Is it you? Well, notice this person is not only common, he's foolish. He's foolish. Friend, isn't it foolish to trust in riches? Why? Well, isn't it true that riches are uncertain? That's why Paul could say to Timothy, tell those who are rich in this world not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives to all men all things richly to enjoy. You see, they can be so easily lost. How many people over the last months and years have lost thousands, perhaps some millions, with all the volatility in the stock exchange? And all the banking fiascos. The riches suddenly gone. Rich corporations suddenly wiped out. Trusting, you see, in uncertain riches. As it says in chapter 23, verse 5. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as the eagle towards heaven. Isn't that the way they can be? Can have them today, they're gone tomorrow. Treasure in earth, where moth and rust to corrupt, where thieves can break in and steal. In other words, we can easily lose them. There's no guarantee that they will last. And if you stop and think of it, history shows that continually. Friend, do not think, if only I had more, I would be secure, I would be happy. That would be the end of my problems. They're so uncertain. Think of the prodigal son. He leaves home. Well, I've got my inheritance. Things are going to go well now. I'm going to enjoy myself. And after a short time, he's wishing he could eat the pig's food. That's how low he had been brought. But not only are they uncertain, aren't they fleeting? they don't last. You might go to the grave, and you've written your will. You should write your will, settle your affairs, make sure these things are done, not leaving it for others. You've written your will. By God's blessing, you're able to leave things to the family. But they're left. Naked came I into this world, naked shall I go out. The Lord has given, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you think of Psalm 49, there's the rich man. Cannot redeem his own soul or his brother's soul. He's gone. I'm going. I can build a great tower in a monument to myself. I can name a street or a parkland or a town after myself, and soon people will be scratching their heads. Who is that person? How did that name come into existence? Soon the place that knew us will know us no more. Friend, they will not last. And they will not last beyond the grave. They will not help you in the day of judgment. Do not trust in riches. But isn't it also two things that disappoint? For a time, they may offer promise. They might give a bit of excitement. But at the end, they leave you feeling a bit empty, and they disappoint. Think of all the fireworks which were going off. They look lovely. There's a whoosh, sparks, there's a bang, there's darkness. At best, that's what riches give us. And often, all that happens is they just let people down. Someone's trusting on the stick, and the stick gives way, and they fall. And perhaps it pierces them in the process. Friend, they will not give you peace. They will not give you joy. They will not give you happiness. Your health may break down. Money may not fix it. Your family may have problems. And your money cannot sort them. In the day of bereavement, you're left alone. And what good's the money then? It's useless. You see, you were made for God. You were made to know Him. You were made to have fellowship with Him. And so long as you try and fill that hole in your life with the wrong thing, it will not work. Whether it's pleasures, whether it's riches. Unless your life is orientated around God, unless He is your chief end in life, and you're seeking to glorify Him, you will have no lasting joy, no lasting peace, no lasting happiness. The Lord's people will tell you that's true. For a while, there they were, pursuing vain things. It may have been riches. It may have been other things. And they had no real joy or happiness. But the righteous man has found it in Christ. And that's what you must do. Because riches disappoint. In other words, the materialistic person is a fool. Because he is trusting in things which just do not work. He can't say this. He's more than a fool. He's ungodly. Why? Because his confidence is misplaced. Where's the basic problem? He is looking to certain blessings. If we may view prosperity and wealth as a blessing, there's nothing wrong with seeing it that way. But he is looking to the blessing rather than to the blesser, to the gift, rather than the giver. Charge them that are rich in this world not to trust in uncertain riches. Who will they trust in?
the living God, who giveth to all men richly. Friends, who is the source of what you have? The wealth that you have? Who gave you your home? Who gave you your health to enable you to work, to enable you to do things, to enable you to hold down a job? Who gave you the skills to do it, the ability, the openings? God himself. And what are you doing? You're looking beyond all these things to what you have done and what you have gained. Friend, are you not robbing God of his glory? And he is a jealous God who is jealous for his own glory. He is the fountain of all good and all blessing. And you're ignoring him. You're being ungrateful to him. Friends, you're acting in an ungodly way. If your trust is in riches, you've made these things an idol. And God has said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so notice, this person is condemned. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. He falls. The picture may be of someone stumbling because he is trusting in something that can't support him. Or it may be that of a branch, as is mentioned in the second part of the verse, and, well, the leaf here, the leaf, it drops, it's wizened, it's dead. There's no life here. How does Jeremiah put it? In chapter 17, in verse 5, it says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. But he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. There's a scrubby, dead-looking bush in a salt land, in a cursed land. Oh, friend, don't you see the folly of trusting in riches, of thinking too highly of them, of setting your heart on these things, of letting them dominate your life? Are you doing such a thing? Stop it. Because such is foolish, it is ungodly, and it will condemn you. It keeps you from the kingdom of God and will lead you to a lost eternity, because you are dishonoring the giver of all good and you are trusting in something which cannot really help you now and certainly will not help you on the day of judgment. The materialistic man. Oh, what a pitiful sight. Friend, are you being like that? Stop it now. And turn to the Lord. With a contrast here. There's someone who is materialistic. And then you've got the righteous man. Verse 28. The righteous shall flourish as a branch. Well, what's this man like? Well, you'll notice that he is God-centered. Righteousness, what does it mean? Well, it means straightness. It means conformity to a rule, a standard. It means conformity, therefore, to the law of God. So here's someone whose life is lived in reference to God, whose life is straight, it is in accordance with the law of God. He's righteous. Well, what does that mean in practice? Well, to begin with, here is someone who is trusting in Christ, that they might be righteous. Friend, have you discovered that you're not righteous?
that if you try and measure your life according to the law of God, it doesn't measure up. It's crooked. It's not straight. There are many deviations from the standard God has set, that God expects, that God demands. And if you've been led to cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, how shall I stand before thee, the holy, righteous God? And there's a standard, straightness. And I'm so crooked, I'm so warped in my life. Have you fled to Christ, whose righteousness is offered to poor sinners for their justification? Why did Jesus come into this world? Wasn't it with us, friends? He came to die in the place of sinners, to bear the judgment that their sin deserved, to bear their unrighteousness, their condemnation. And he also came to live a life of perfect obedience, to actively obey the law of God, that his perfect righteousness might be there, so that when God looks upon his people, it's as if not only they've never sinned because Christ has dealt with their sin, but it's as if they've kept the law of God perfectly. Are you trusting in Christ? Have you felt the despair of what it is to be a sinner condemned by God? And if you looked round for a way of refuge, a way to deal with sin, and if you've discovered that only way provided in Christ, and if you fled to him, God sees no iniquity in you, the judge of all the earth, because he sees in you the righteousness of Christ. That's the man that's referred to here, the righteous man. He's giving up trusting in his riches. He knows they're useless. They dethrone God. It's foolish to do this. He's returned to God in repentance as a sinner and is now trusting in Christ's righteousness. The things that he thought were gain in this world and with God, they're rubbish compared to the righteousness of Christ. Friend, are you trusting in him? Only if you're trusting in him are you righteous. And this is a wise man that's described here. What else can we say about this man? Well, he's someone who obviously hates sin, because he realizes it leads to condemnation, when Christ had to die to deal with sin, and that grieves him to think of that. And if he turns away from sin, he longs for holiness, he wants to live a life that pleases God, he wants to live a life which is according to the standard of God, he wants to live a straight life, though he struggles to. His desire is to be holy. He's justified, forgiven and declared righteous through the righteousness of Christ imputed to him. And he's becoming sanctified, becoming a holy person. And you see, this person is aware that God is the source of all blessing. He's not trusting on certain riches. He is trusting in the living God who gives us liberally all things to enjoy. He's aware that man's chief end is to glorify God, to enjoy him forever. He's wanting to do that. Oh, friend, is that you? If it is, what a beautiful description is given. What a contrast with the materialistic man. He falls. He's a fool. But you shall flourish as a branch. Are you God-centered? There's the question. Are you righteous? Well, what's said about this righteous man? We're told he is flourishing. He flourishes as a branch. What's the picture? It's of a branch in a tree or a shoot that is budding and blossoming. So it's a picture of a bush or a tree that's in full health, in vigor, and it's going to be fruitful. The man trusting in riches, well, if there was any blossom, it quickly falls. There's going to be no fruit. But here's a man who is flourishing. What does that speak of? Well, it tells us that unlike the materialistic man, he's satisfied. Friend, are you trying to satisfy yourself by what you have? Or you know, you feel you would be satisfied if you had certain things. Realize that it's the righteous man, the God-centered man, who alone is satisfied. You see, this bush, this plant, or this tree can only flourish if there's plenty of water, if it's got plenty of nourishment. Remember, this is a bush that would be thought of in Palestine, where often it's dry and arid, and there are many dry seasons. But it's flourishing. Why? Because it's found satisfaction in God. Friend, have you found satisfaction in God? That's what you need. You see, when a person comes to Christ, they have peace with God. They no longer have a conscience which is niggling at them and accusing them and threatening them of condemnation. Yes, at times they may feel that, but they look to Christ, they remember what he has done, and they enjoy the peace of God as they realize they're at peace with God. Christ has dealt with their sin. And they're satisfied in God. I get peace with him. He promises to be with me. He promises to be in me. And he gives me this glorious hope of heaven itself. And a right and title to that hope. Hope of the hypocrite. It shall perish. But the righteous man's hope is sure and certain. You see, this man is satisfied. It's not that his life is a life which is easy. It's not that it's immune from trials. But he's got peace. Why? He knows God's with him. He knows God's for him. He knows all things work together for good. He knows that if God did not withhold his son, but gave him on the cross for poor sinners like him, if he gave his greatest gift, he will withhold no good from him. With him, with Christ, he shall give us all things freely. Friend, would you have true satisfaction? Seek it in Christ then. Not in uncertain riches, for they will not work. This man is satisfied. And then you'll notice he's fruitful, because he is flourishing as a branch. The word flourishing can speak of a plant blossoming. And of course, blossom comes before fruit. The apple tree blossoms, and then the fruit grows in the tree. Whereas a rich man, if ever he would get near any blossom, it would soon fall. Here's a man who is fruitful. Here's a man who has been a blessing to others. And so what do we read? Verse 24, there is it scattereth and yet increaseth, there is it withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Here's someone who's saying, I need it for myself, I'm not going to help them. Charity begins at home. For as there is the one who scatters and yet increaseth, the liberal soul made fat, the one who waters, who seems to be given out, and he has watered himself. Dear believer, how often have you gone to visit an old saint? And perhaps you've thought, well, there's really of the time, but you've gone and done it, and you come back blessed in your own soul. You went to minister to them, and they ministered to you. You went to water, and you were watered yourself. Have you experienced that? You're caused to flourish. You made a blessing to others. And so we read Paul saying, look, don't trust in uncertain riches, but in God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Make sure you do good, that you are rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, that is, share, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Here's someone that's useful. Friend, don't you want to be a useful person? Useful to God, useful to others, useful to yourself. The righteous man is like that. Whatever you've got, make good use of it for the glory of God. Be useful. Useful to yourself, useful to others. Useful to God. Here's this man who's flourishing. He's becoming more fruitful. And there'll be more spiritual fruit. His life will be more pleasing to God. Because he is centered upon God. And he's living for God. And you see, he's laying up in store for himself against the time to come. The day is going to come when he's brought before the judgment seat. And he'll be judged according to his works. And it's not that his works save him. Faith saves. But there's the evidence of someone who's righteous. Friend, what will God see? What will he see when he calls you to account? When he opens the books? Will it be sin and more sin? And self and materialism? Or will it be the evidence of a righteous man whose hope is in Christ alone? Here's a man who's satisfied. Here's a man who's fruitful. Here's a man who's living. He's flourishing. The righteous shall flourish as a branch. Think of how, in the middle of winter, you look at a bush in a garden. Is it alive? Is it dead? And you think of a springtime. There's the leaves coming and the flowers coming on the bush. It's flourishing, it's alive. Well, you see, here's a bush that is alive. It's not dead. There's life. Dear believer, is your hope in Christ? You have life now and a life that shall never end. Because you're trusting in the only source of life. Your life is centered upon God. You're drawing from Him. You're relying upon Him. And you have this hope that as you have life now in Christ, so that life shall go on forever. Because eternal life begins when a person comes to faith in Christ. Though there's the perfection and fullness that life in heaven. The righteous man, he's wise. He's living for God. And as he lives for God now, so he shall flourish and go on flourishing. And how he shall flourish when he enters into heaven and is made perfect in holiness. What a contrast to this fool who trusts in his riches, who's falling. There's only deadness there. Friend, beware of
One of the curses of this age, materialism. Has it got a hold of you? Is that really what you're living for? You can be so diligent and reading scripture and praying and attending the means of grace, and at the end of the day, God's not on the throne of your heart. He's not at the center of your affections. You're thinking, if only I have this, I have that, or the next thing, I'll be happy. I'll be secure. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. Beware of the danger of materialism. It dishonors God. It destroys your own soul. Repent of it. Turn from it. Trust the Lord. Be like the righteous man who trusts in Christ, whose life is centered in him. He shall flourish.